Amen. I just want to pray, Lord. I thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you saved me, Lord. Thank you that you're alive today, Jesus. Thank you want to touch our lives today, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, Lord, to heal us, Lord, to lead us. Amen. Yeah, Steve asked me to speak about evangelizing, which is something that I'm quite keen on, if those people who know me. So I was going to speak about evangelism. And I wanted to share about a guy. There was a guy called C.T. Studd. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was around in the late, about 1880, 1890. And he was an educated guy. He went to Eton. His father was very wealthy. He had four brothers, and he got converted. He became a Christian. He played cricket for England. He was a very famous cricketer. He's a very good cricketer. And he became a Christian. And he got his inheritance in about 1890. He got £29,000, which is quite a bit of money today. But I worked out in today's money, it's about £5 million. £5 million he got given. And he became a Christian, and he gave all the money away. He gave every penny away. He gave some money to George Muller, who worked with the orphans. He gave money to the Salvation Army for their work in India. He gave money to another guy in East London who worked with the orphans and the homeless. And he set up the Chinese Inland Mission, I think it was called at the time, which is still around today, which is now called the World Evangelism Crusade. So he set up that organisation. And his slogan, which I love, which really rings true in my heart, is he said, "There's only one life, and it'll soon be past. Only the things done for Christ will last." So he said, "There's only one life. We only have one life on this planet. I've only got one life. And it'll soon be past. But only the things that I do for Jesus in my life are going to last. You know, anything else is just a waste of time. It's not going to last. It's pointless." And I saw this illustration. I don't know if this is going to work, but I thought it quite impacted me. A guy was talking about, I found this old bit of electrical cable. I don't know if it's going to work, but the reel's a bit worn out. But the guy said, "You imagine this is eternity. Okay, this is about 200 meters, I think, this on this drum. But if you imagine this is eternity, okay, which is a long time, obviously. It's everlasting. It's never going to stop. So if I pulled this cable right off." Even this little piece here, we can say, "Well, this is eternity." And then I'll just try to... I can shout, I've got a loud voice. Okay, so if this is eternity, and you imagine just this little piece on the end, if you imagine that that's your life, just this little piece on the end, that's it. Compared to eternity, and you know, this can keep going. It just keep going, can't it? It's like an everlasting reel of cable. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But that's your life. Compared to eternity, that's it. That's all you get. You know, even if you live to 120, it's just that little bit. And what are you doing with your life? That's a challenge. That challenged my heart, man. What am I doing? What am I doing with that little bit that God's given me? You know, what am I spending my time doing? What am I spending my money on? What do I think about? What do I watch on telly? What do I read? Who do I talk to? What do I talk about? You know, Jesus said, "Your mouth speaks what your heart is full of." You know, I want to speak about Jesus. because I want my heart to be full of Jesus. I want my heart to be full of his love and his grace, his compassion, his forgiveness, his mercy. That's what I want to do. That challenged me. And we as Christians believe we've got eternal life. We're going to live forever. You know, and if we truly believe that in your heart, if you really believe that in your heart, that's it. That's all you got. Just this little bit compared to an eternity. And I think C.T. Studd, I think he got that. And I think I've got, you know, that challenges me because that's how we should be living. That should be our perspective. So what are you living for? Are you living for Jesus? You know, are you living a life from an eternal perspective? Are you looking at your life from God's point of view? Not from what everyone else says to you, what's around. And the first scripture I've got is Romans 1, verse 16. Have we got that? They've got that. Oh, they got that. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. So the gospel of Jesus, the good news, is power. There's power. There's power in the gospel. There's power in Jesus. You know, the first question I've got is why? Why do I evangelize? Why do I want to tell people about Jesus? Because it's good news. You know, when I was 11 years old and I got healed. I got healed from leukemia. And a lot of you know that. My mother's here today. She was there. And they came and prayed for me in the hospital room. They prayed for me in the name of Jesus. And they anointed me with oil, like the Bible says, and I got healed. And it wasn't till I was 24, when I was 24 years old, on a Christmas day, I'd been out drinking with my friend. I was still drunk. And I was sitting in church. And my whole life went in front of me. And I realized God still loved me. And God's grace was incredible. And that changed my life. I wasn't a nice person. I was angry. I was angry with the world. I was angry with life. I was angry with people. I was angry with myself. I wasn't a nice person. But Jesus changed my life. Jesus turned my life around. And that's why I want to tell people about Jesus. Because he changed me. And that's the power that's in the gospel. That's the power that's in Jesus. That same power is here today. And that's why I want to tell people. I spoke to a guy this week, and it's quite sad. He said that he's kind of lost his faith. And I said to him, do you pray? Do you read your Bible? And he's like, no. And I said, but if you had a huge debt, I said, if you owed someone £1 million, and I came along and said, I'm going to write a check and pay that debt off. I said, you'd be really happy, wouldn't you? And he's like, yeah. And I said, you'd tell everybody. You'd tell everybody about it, wouldn't you? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, that's what Jesus has done for me. Jesus changed me, man. Jesus paid that debt. He paid the price. And, you know, if you truly believe that, if you know that in your heart, surely you'd want to tell people. Why, you wouldn't keep that to yourself. Do you know what I mean? It's to me, I that's it. That's why I want to talk to people. That's why I say, so why do I tell people? That's why I tell people. Why don't people tell people? That's the next question. I think the biggest thing is fear. People have fear. People are scared. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. We haven't been given a spirit of fear. That's not from God. But it says he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to give us today. You know, as Christians, we need to be born again. I think Andy said it when he spoke. He said, we need to be born again, not bored again. And I thought that's brilliant. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There needs to be a change in our lives. And we don't need to live in fear because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. We don't need to be scared because we've got God in us. The Bible says Jesus in us is the hope. He's the hope. He's the hope for your life. He's the hope for your family. He's the hope for my family, for my children, for my cousins, for my sisters. He's the hope. Amen. And I wanted to, I was trying to think of a way of illustrating this. And I've got a, I was thinking I've got this work torch. And if my battery's charged up, I don't know if you can see that, but it's got four lights on it. So when the battery's fully charged, it's got four lights. But if I've got a battery on my torch that's not charged up, it doesn't work. It's useless. And I was thinking about how do we evangelize? And you know, there's lots of different ways to evangelize. There's lots of different things you can do. But for me, the Lord's really shown me over the last year that the most important thing is prayer. If we don't pray, if you don't pray as a Christian, if you don't pray as a Christian, you're like this battery that's flashing because it's out of charge. Well, it must have a little bit in there, isn't it? But it's not enough charge. There's not enough charge in there to light the torch to do anything. But when you pray, if you pray, you get charged up. The Holy Spirit charges you up. If you spend time with Jesus, you spend time in the presence of God, it changes you. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes you. Prayer doesn't change situations. It changes me. That's why it's so powerful. And if I charge my battery up, if I spend time with Jesus, if I pray, and then I plug my battery in, my light shines. And that's how Jesus wants us to be. Jesus said, let your light shine before all men. He said, let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, people read us. I think Spurgeon said, he said, non-Christians, they don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible, but they read you. If you're a Christian, people read you. They look at you. And if they don't see Christ, they're saying, well, he's not very Christ-like, is he? You know, Christian means little Christ. That's what it means. We need to be like Christ. And if we're not like Christ, people read us. People read me. So how can we evangelize? Good question. I think we need to pray. Here's the key. We need the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. It gives us boldness to speak. Because we need to speak. It says faith comes from hearing the word. And it says that how can people hear unless someone preaches? How can people hear about Jesus unless somebody tells them about Jesus? So we need to have boldness. We need to have the Holy Spirit. And I've got, I don't know, I mean, I speak to lots of people. I spoke to a Jehovah's Witness guy in Fareham. He asked me to come and give him a quote to do some work. And I went in there and I had this conversation with him. And I said to him, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And he's like, no. I said, do you want to be? I said, Jesus said you need to be born again. And he said to me, I think you better go. He said, that's what he said to me. And I said to him, what about your electrics? He said, oh, don't worry about that. But that's it, isn't it? And it's funny, but praise the Lord. I spoke to the Muslim barbers in Emsworth. You know, I asked the guy, I said, what, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, what do you love? What do you love about your God? He said to me, I love everything. I said, then that's not an answer. And even the other Muslim guy there's laughing. He's thinking, yeah, I said, that's rubbish. I said, what do you love about your God? And I shared my testimony with him because he was saying to me he had a blood test. So I said, I had leukemia. And I showed him my testimony. He says to me, he said, I can't read English. I said, well, you managed to read your text. And I said to him, I'll read it to you. He says to me, get out. He sent me out of the shop. And when I went, last time I went there, they cut my hair really, really short. And Sharon said to me, they don't want you back there. I don't know if that's true. But in the petrol station in Emsworth, and it's even called Harvest. I love it. It's called Harvest. And I go in there and I share my testimony. I give my testimony to the people. We have the Four Points tract. I don't know if you've seen this. This is a fantastic tract. And Steve's ordered some for the church. This is a great. And I know Andy has put one of these on his desk at work. And he says people pick it up. When he's not there, he said the people come and pick it up and they read it. And it's a fantastic tract because it's so visual. God loves you. I have sinned. Jesus died for me. And I need to decide to live for God. It's brilliant. It's so simple. And it's so visual. And obviously on the back it's got a bit more on there. But that's a fantastic tract, you know. Put one on your desk. You can get stickers for your van. Or your car. Do you know what I mean? You can get t-shirts. It's a wonderful thing, the Four Points. It's so simple. I teach that to the kids on Sundays. You know, you can go on the streets. In the petrol station. The Hindu guy in there, he gets fed up with me now. I went in there, he said to me, I'm not you again. I said to him, you don't sell everlasting diesel. I said to him, I can get you everlasting life. And he laughed. And even the other bloke in the queue was laughing. But that just came out. I didn't think about that. Praise the Lord. But so in the hospital, you know, you can go into the hospitals. You know, visit people in hospital. Pray for them. You know, that's a thing you can do. Sharon's doing the baby basics. That's reaching out, showing God's love to the community. You know, people who need clothes for their babies. You can clothe these people. Going into prison, my friend goes into the prison and visits people, and I've been with him. And that's wonderful to go in the prison, share Jesus with these guys, talk to them about Jesus, show them how to read the Bible, teach them how to pray. Fantastic. There's lots of things you can do. We went out yesterday in Emsworth. My friend, he got these printed off, the Father's Love Letter. I don't know if you've seen that. But it's a wonderful, it's just got a whole load of scriptures about how much God loves you. And we went around and put them through people's doors. Just trying to show that there's, give them some hope and showing that God loves you. There's the money, this is fantastic, this tract. I love this tract. It was done for the King's coronation last year. And it looks like a £50 note. And people love you, they think it's money. And you give these to people. You go in the shop and you pay for it. Or people say, do you take cash? And you're like, yeah. And you give them one of these. And they read it. It's incredible. And it's got the gospel on the back. It's got a gospel, a really clear gospel message. That's fantastic. I designed this track last year. It was called Pray Up Pompey. And it might have even worked because they got promoted. I don't know. I'm not claiming that one. But I thought, you know, they sing Play Up Pompey, don't they? And this is a great testament. You know, you can give these out in the street, you know, in Portsmouth and around here. Everyone loves Port Pompey. Well, most people do. It's kind of their second team if it's not their first team. And then we put the Lord's Prayer on the back. I met a lady last year on the street, and I was playing my trumpet. And I said to her, what's your testimony? And she said she was in a mental hospital. And she was on 8 different medications. She was in a padded cell. And she said she got on her knees and prayed the Lord's Prayer. She said that's the only prayer I knew. And Jesus met her. Jesus met her in that. And she's not on any medications now. And I did that. I thought, wow, that's powerful. That's how Jesus told us to pray, isn't it? It's so simple, but that's it. And now I've got my testimony. I had these printed last year through the Pocket Testament League. So that's my story. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful to be able to, and then we've all got a story. We've all got a story of how Jesus has touched our lives and changed us. So we need to share those stories. So as C.T. Studd said, only one life and it'll soon be past. Only the things done for Christ will last. So that's what we need to think about. But we don't need to fear people. There was a guy a couple of weeks ago doing the fence outside my house. And he looked really stressed. So I said to him, I'll be back in a minute. I said, I'll make you a cup of tea. So I came back. I said, a cup of tea makes everyone feel better. And I came back and I made him a cup of tea. And he was moaning because he was on his own. The guy who was supposed to help him wasn't there. And it's hard to put up fencing on your own. It's difficult. Anyway, so I went off and I had to come back for something. I'd forgotten. I came home and he had two people helping him. And I said to him, oh, you got two people now. And he said to me, I prayed to the Lord. He said, that's what he said to me. I said, well, he's answered your prayer. And he said, well, he doesn't normally. And I said, but he has today. And I shared my testimony with him. I gave him one of these. And do you know what he said to me? He said, this morning, my wife phoned me at 10 o'clock this morning and she's got lung cancer. And you know, in my head, when he was moaning at me, it's true, he's moaning at me. I was thinking, man, you've got a job. You're alive. Be grateful. And I really just wanted to kind of almost get annoyed with him. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, no, make him a cup of tea. And God says, the word says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And sometimes we just need to love people. You know, and just making that guy a cup of tea. It's simple, isn't it? And he really opened up. And I said to him, I'm going to pray for his wife. She's called Jane. And I said, I'm going to pray for her. Pray that she gets healed. And he said, thank you. He said, thank you for that. And I thought, it's wonderful, isn't it? Because, you know, if I hadn't made him a cup of tea, he wouldn't have shared that with me. So there's power in a cup of tea. So we've got all these tracks that are great. And we need to be bold. We need to be bold in sharing, don't we? And I've really been challenged about prayer, honestly. You know, prayer about being intimate with Jesus, about spending time praying. Because that's what changes me. And I get to know Jesus. And he can fill me with his Holy Spirit. You know, and we need to pray. Like I said, you know, I don't know, it makes me cry. My best friend, I've prayed for him for 30 years. I became a Christian when I was 24 years old on Christmas Day. And that the night before I was with my friend and he came back from Australia. Do you know, and I've prayed for him for 30 years. 30 years I've prayed for him. And I've cried for him. And I really want him to become a Christian. You know, because Jesus loves him. And it's the same with my sisters. My sisters aren't following Jesus. My children aren't following Jesus. You know, I've got cousins, I've got aunties and uncles. I've got lots of friends. And I want them to know Jesus. Because Jesus changed me. And I want them to have eternal life. I want to see them in heaven. And I pray for them. And church, we need to pray. You know, we don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. You know, we need to pray. And then pray some more. And then pray a bit more after that. And keep praying. Prayer changes things. I'm learning that so much more. I've been a Christian for 30 years now. And I've never prayed so much in my life. You know, you look at this nation. What's happening in this nation? We need to pray. As Christians, we need to pray. If we don't pray, I don't know what's going to happen, but we need to pray. Seriously. We need to be challenged to spend that time. I spoke to my neighbour yesterday. She's an elderly lady. She's going blind and she's deaf. And you have to shout and say, "Oh, it's Stuart." And I said to her a few months ago, "Oh, can I pray for you?" And she's like, "Oh, no, no, no." And I saw her this week and I just started crying. I was just in my van and I was looking at her thinking, Jesus can heal that lady. Jesus can touch her life. And I was speaking to her yesterday because we were giving out these, and I said to her, she said, "Oh, I can't do anything." I said, "But you can pray." I said, "You can pray." And she said, "You know," she said, "I do pray." She said, I pray in secret," she said. But that's what Jesus told us to do, didn't he? He said, "Go and shut the door and pray." He said, don't tell everybody what you're doing. But it really blessed me. And I'm going to pray for Pauline. I'm going to pray that Jesus heals her. Really am. She's my neighbour. She's my next door neighbour. But that's what Jesus said. He said, "Love your neighbour. Love your neighbour as you love yourself, man." And we've got to pray. And it was wonderful last time in the kids. My friend asked me a question a few months ago. He's a maths professor. He's a clever guy. And he said to me, he said, "If you got arrested today, if the police came in and arrested you right now and accused you of being a Christian, and they took you in front of the judge, and you got tried for being a Christian," he said, would you be found guilty?" I did it with the kids. I did it with the kids the other week. I said, "Right, we're going to do a little drama." So we got a judge and we got a jury. And we put them in the stand. And we said, "You've been accused of being a Christian. What do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?" And one boy said, "I'm not guilty." I said, "So you're not a Christian?" He's like, "No." And I said, "Well, at least we know. At least, at least we know where we stand." And we got another girl up and they grilled her. They said, "Oh, what have you done this week? What have you read? Have you prayed? Have you read your Bible? What have you watched on telly? What have you listened to?" And they even called her mum. Her mum was there. So they got her mum up as a witness. And they asked her mum questions. And then the jury voted. They voted. And she was found guilty. She was guilty. But isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know, a 10-year-old girl who's been found guilty of being a Christian. And that's a challenge, isn't it? And my friend told me a fantastic story. When the Romans banned Christianity. And the Christians, they got persecuted. They got put in prison. They got executed. But yet they used to line up. They queue up at the river to get baptized. And this Roman centurion would sit there on his horse. And he'd say to the people, "What's your name?" And they'd give him their name. And they'd go and get baptized. But they knew that as soon as they did it, they were going to lose their citizenship. They were going to lose their homes. They were going to lose their families. Everything they owned, their money. Their wives and children could be put in prison or executed. They'd be fed to the lions or executed. But they lined up. They queued up to do it. They still queued up to be baptized. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Would you queue up? Would you queue up today? Would you stand there and say, "I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Christ whatever the cost. Whatever cost to me, whatever cost to my family." Because that's what Jesus said, isn't it? He paid the price. Are you prepared to pay the price today? Would you pay the cost? Would you be guilty? Would you line up? That's a challenge, isn't it? That challenges my that challenges me, man. That's tough. But that's following Jesus. That's being a Christian. Amen. I really felt this week I was praying. I really wanted to pray that, you know, today I just felt if there's anybody at the end of the service today who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who wants to be, Jesus said, sorry, there's one more scripture, Matthew 3, verse 11. I just want to finish with that. Okay, so this is John the Baptist. And he said that he baptized with water unto repentance. But then he talked about Jesus. He said, but there's one coming, he said. And John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to untie or do up his shoes. He said, but he is going to baptize you in water, which is a command. It is a command from Jesus is to be baptized. But he also said that he was going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be consumed with that fire that burns, man. Jeremiah said that the word of God is like a fire. He said it's like a fire in your bones. And he couldn't keep it in. He had to speak it out. And we need to be like that as Christians. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to have a fire in us that burns, that sets other people on fire, that changes things. That when we speak to people, when we walk into a room, it changes things. That when we speak about Jesus, it changes things. That's what I want to be. I want to be a fire. We used to sing that song, This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. I love that song. I love that song because I want to shine for Jesus. I want to be a light for Jesus. I want to be a fire for Jesus. I want to change things for Jesus, through Jesus, with Jesus. It's not me. I can't do a thing. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity. I know there's people here today that need a bit of fire. You need a bit of oomph. Amen. You need your battery charged up. Your battery's died. But you need the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to have an opportunity this morning to pray for people. You know, God healed me. God healed Isabel, bless her heart. What a wonderful woman that is. That's a lady who knows Jesus. She knows Jesus. She's full of the Holy Spirit. We need to be like that. Have a life that's lived for Jesus. What a testimony. That's what I want to be. And I just want to, if you want to be prayed for this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to get prayed for, get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're sick, we'll pray. I want to pray for you. Jesus can heal you. Amen. I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you died on the cross, Lord. For every person sat here, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you shed your blood for us, Lord God. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you there's healing, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in your name, Jesus, Lord. We just lift your name up this morning, Lord. Over all of our lives, Lord Jesus, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in your church, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you, we are your church. Thank you, you love your church, Lord God. Thank you for your love, Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you love each one of us, Lord God. So much, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray just come and minister to every heart here today, Lord. Touch every heart. Touch every heart afresh, Jesus, Lord God. Set us on fire for you, Jesus, Lord.
who will set us on fire in our hearts, Lord God. Heal those people who need healing today, Jesus, Lord. Every sickness, Lord, we just tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Your name is above every name this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, if you want prayer, just come forward and we can pray for you. Steve, come and pray, and Nimi, whoever, if you feel in faith, or you want prayer, or get someone to pray for you where you are. But just reach out to Jesus today. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.